You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Again, but if you'd like to come up and do the motions to Days of Elijah, you are sure welcome. Otherwise, you'll be forced to watch all of us do the motions.
Or not.
All set. Days of Elijah. This morning. Welcome to worship. It is so good to see everyone here today, and it is Labor Day weekend, so we have lots of folks traveling, so we need to keep them in prayer, but we will get to that. Begin with, we're going to do a few announcements, so if you want to open up your bulletins, I do have a few that are not in there, and I'm going to do those first. Shirley Farbo is having a birthday party. It's her 90th birthday, and that is an open house on September 9th, Friday, September 9th, and it's from 2 to 4. And that is at Cedar Place in the community room. That's the old heritage housing resident in Halleck. So if you would like to wish Shirley a happy birthday, please stop by September 9th. It's a Friday from 2 to 4. Also, we have a birthday for Faye Petromet. You can see there. And she is celebrating on September 10th at the Community Center in Lancaster. And there's an open house at 3 o'clock and a meal at 5. And everybody is welcome to come to that as well. We also have another birthday, Fran Eberle. And, you know, Fran is turning 100. And we're going to celebrate with her in the Lancaster Community Center on Sunday, September 11th from 2 to 4. And is that right, 2 to 4? Or is it 2:30? I don't remember either. Come at 2, then you're there for sure. Yeah. That'd be great. So a lot going on this coming week with birthday parties. And it would just be so good to see you all there at them and just to celebrate together. Also, next Sunday, we are going to start Sunday school classes and confirmation classes. Confirmation class for grades 7 and 8, I believe, unless there's some in 9th that have not taken it yet. We'll meet Sundays after the worship service and then Wednesdays after school. So if anyone is in that age group, please let us know. Talk to either Greg or myself or Sherry Sullivan. Just let us know so we can make sure that we're ready for you. I'm excited about this year again. I think we have 13, I believe, already signed up. So that is awesome. We're just so blessed with so many kids. There is a give meal at the church here on September 12th, and that is from 5 to 7. And there is a sign-up sheet in the foyer if you'd like to bring something. And there's also on the very back table, you'll see an envelope. A manila envelope with if you'd like to leave a donation for that project as well. And if you have any questions, please contact Ida. Okay, September 14th, we have youth group that will meet at the church here at 6:45 for snacks, and then they'll be doing a scavenger hunt. And Good News Club also begins for kindergarten through sixth grade. We'll meet from 3:15 to 4:30 on the 14th. There's a Bethmore Live simulcast event, and that'll be at Grace Lutheran from 9 until 4:30 on September 17th. We have Women's Fall Retreat at Blue Water, September 16th through the 18th, with the theme Joy for All Seasons. And there's more information on the bulletin board in the foyer as well. We're also doing a simulcast prayer event on September 23rd from 6 to 9. It's called Cry Out 16, and there will be more information coming on that as well. We're also having a quarterly business meeting coming up at 9 o'clock on Sunday, September 25th, and everyone is welcome to attend that. We also have a night of worship coming up. We've had many requests to have another night of worship, and that is going to be September 18th at 6:30 p.m. So please write that down as well. It's not in your bulletin, but we would just love to have a good turnout. And also, if you would just come, if anyone feels led to share a testimony, please let me know ahead of time, and I'd love to hear your story. Okay, any other announcements this morning? I know I threw a lot at you. I don't think I remembered any of those. But okay, nothing else. Okay, if we could, before we have our prayer time and scripture, I'm going to ask Peggy to come up. She has a children's sermon, I believe. Awesome. So kids, come on up. Peggy has a children's sermon ready for you. I'll help you.
Okay. So you guys, we're going to learn about labels today.
It's the piano mic. Would you turn it up, Estelle? Just one of the piano mics or both of them.
I thought I was
just to get her by.
Enough, but I guess I'm not. Should we have a little prayer first, you guys? Okay. Dear Lord, thank you that these precious children could be here today to learn about you. And I pray that what I have to tell them will be useful and that they will want to serve you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So anyway, we're going to learn about labels. You guys, when we have a can of fruit or vegetables or whatever, you know, it gets a label on it, so we know what we're going to serve. Because for recipes, we need special ingredients. And it's pretty cool to know what's in these cans. If there was no label on it, it'd be pretty hard. It'd be kind of stumped. Well, anyway, one time when my daughter, Christy, was only 2 years old or so, she got into the pantry when I was busy doing something, and she took every single label off, every single can. She don't remember it, but I don't even think I got a picture. It was a Kodak moment, and I didn't have a camera or something, but I got the picture in my brain, and that's really cool. Because we had some real creative meals for quite a long time because it was, we made it kind of a game because we'd wonder, well, what are we going to have tonight? Will it be pork and beans or bean with bacon soup? Or you can kind of tell by the shape of a can, but you can't know for sure because they kind of trick you. Well, anyway, there's labels on things. And there's good things about labels. And there's bad things about labels. Remember when we learned about Corrie Ten Boom? And she grew up in Austria back when Hitler was ruling, and he wanted to wipe out all of the Jews. And remember how they had to wear that band on their arm with a gold star saying they were a Jew? That's labeling somebody. And that was very bad. Do you think God liked that when they did that? Do you think that was? No, he did not like that. He was very, very sad. And sometimes we hear that word bullying, right? And we put labels on people too, where we'll call them names or say bad things about them. And when you are somebody that loves Jesus and follows his ways, you don't want to be against those kids that are picked on. Sometimes it can be you that are picked on. I know what kids are like. I grew up. And I was a kid one day, and one day we'd pick on one kid, and then the next day they'd pick on me, and it was spread around pretty good. And you have to be tough. You have to have tough skin to be able to take that. They used to call me Skinny Minnie, and you name it, Carrot Top, and Red on the Head, and oh boy, I hated it, Freckle Face. But I mean, that's the way kids are, and the more it bothers you, the better they love it. So just forget it. Who cares? So now we know labels can be bad, can't they? But labels can be good too. When you find out someday that you have an allergy, you want to learn how to read labels, right, Elsa? You want to know, is there wheat in there? And if it is, nope, can't have it. And lots of other allergies that people have. So there's good things about labels and there's bad things. And you know what? It's a law in the government. There's a law that they have to put a label on. The manufacturers would probably think it would be a lot easier just to put cream of mushroom soup and not say one other thing, and we'd be stumped. Because who would think you'd have to have wheat in this, you know? Well, anyway, so there's rules. Well, also God gave us rules. Who knows what this is? Ah, you guys are smart. Well, anyway, rulers, what do they do? Yeah, they measure things. Okay. And God sent down rules to Moses. Remember, he sent them down. The 10 commandments for us to live by. And those 10 commandments, do you think we can live by those 10 commandments and do everything, every commandment right? No, we can't save ourselves. And the commandments, it says on my ruler right here, it says God's rules show us our sin. And our sin shows us our need for Jesus, because we can't save ourselves. I was just reading in the Bible yesterday, and Paul was so angry with the Galatians because he had been teaching them the gospel. There's only one gospel, right? But they were going to follow a different gospel. They wanted to be into Judaism and follow the laws, Well, there's no way we can. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had to have Jesus come and die on the cross. Look at this beautiful little cross that my son Matt got me when he was in Spain. See, Jesus is not on that cross, but he's not there anymore, is he?
No.
He rose from the dead. He came here to save us from our sin because we can't save ourselves. So we can have the rules and we have the Bible for us to live by because the Bible is, what's it called when we put on the armor of God? What's the Bible called? Does anybody remember? Click it, put on your armor. What is it?
The Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's a very good gift. I love gifts. And you know what? We get a very special label, and I like that she said that because there are a lot of good gifts. I was going to show you some gifts I've gotten in my life. I got this gift from my sister-in-law, Nancy Hoog. She gave me this apple, and it's really cool. You can open it up and put special things in there. And then one time my son Matt went to, where was he that time? No, Mexico. And he brought me back a nativity scene. And that is the greatest gift. That's why I wanted you to see that. Because like, what's your name again?
Alice.
Alice? Alice, like Alice said, we get a very special gift when we become a child of God. And like Corey told us, we get a special thing. Who remembers what we get? And I showed it to you guys a lot. Where did it go? And here's a gift, too. Somebody saves me boxes because they know I love boxes, and I got this cute little hat box. And this is your a special golden ticket. We get these when we go into ball games and movie theaters. But Corey told us about a special ticket, the best ticket you can ever get. And what is it? Does anybody remember? It's a ticket to where? Right, that's the greatest gift, Alice. And when we become a Christian, then we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. So trying to follow these Ten Commandments, you know, we can't do it. But we should be having victory over our sins. You know, if we, it says in the Bible, should we sin so grace can abound? No. Paul said, no, we should not. We should be having victory over our sin. Like if you hit your sister, you know, would it be good every day to hit your sister and then say, oh, God, please forgive me for hitting my sister? That was really mean. No. Every day you should be having some victory, and maybe the next day you wouldn't hit her. You would be really nice to her, you know? So you get victory. We want victory in Jesus. That's the goal, not to just keep on sinning so grace can abound. And once you get your ticket to heaven, do you think you'll never sin again once you're a Christian? Who sins after they become a Christian? Anybody? Oh, yeah, me too. By golly, we do. And you know what? Then we need to remember to go to him and ask forgiveness. And we need to tell him we're sorry. And we need to really try not to do it again. So that is so important. Well, anyway, this is, did anyone know what this piece of armor is called? It's the Bible, but maybe you guys haven't studied the armor of God. You know, you have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, because this book gives us the rules to live by. And the more you read it, the more you'll know how to follow God's ways. And every single one of you knows right from wrong, right? Who knows right from wrong? So anyway, the government makes rules. Some of them we don't like. They're coming up with some that we do not like. But a lot of them are for our good, and God's Ten Commandments were for our good because he wants to make our life better. And now I'm going to teach you a little song about becoming a Christian. It's one I learned many, many years ago, and it's kind of fun. And some of you might know it. So it goes like this. You have to have some actions. So you go, I am a C. I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-O-V-E, love him all the T-I-M-E time. Okay, can you do it? Come on. Has anyone in this front room here ever seen that before, heard that song before? Okay, come on. Let's try sing it together.
They need to stand up,
Peggy. Okay, stand up. Well, I'll stand up and sing it for you guys. You sing it, and then we have one more we're going to sing. So face those guys, and we're going to, okay. You just try to do a C-H, and then a da, da, da. Okay. I am a C-H. I am, no, we start wrong. I am a C.
I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I am C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will L-O-V-E, love him all the time.
You guys can spell. Come on, sit down. Okay, you guys, now there was a song we learned at Blue Water that helps. When we have this Bible, we can hide God's word in our heart. I just read a book by Jerry Jenkins named Riven. Christy gave it to me to read. Oh, my gosh, it's powerful. Well, the pastor had memorized so much of the Bible. Of course, it's a story, but still, a lot of people have. And anyway, he worked in a prison, and he could go into the prisons, and the guys in prison were kind of mean, and they bullied him because he'd come with his Bible, you know, and they'd make fun of him. He decided, I don't need to bring my Bible because I got it right up here. And he could go and talk to the ones that wanted to hear him tell him things. And he knew it in his heart. And when you guys hide God's word in your heart, it helps you not to sin. Because you can bring up things in your mind and it'll help you. Oh, I know I shouldn't do that. Like, what is sin, you guys? We learn a little ditty about that too. Okay, Cora. I'm Libby. Right. Anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's laws, then it's sin. So one thing we can do, we know when things are bad that we do, but thinking, sometimes things come to your mind in good grief. You want to get rid of them, and you know what you're supposed to do? It says in the Bible you're supposed to take every thought captive. What does it mean to be captive? We played Capture the Flag this week at 5-Day Club. When you're caught, where do you have to go? In Capture the Flag, where do you go, Edie? Right, you go to jail. So if you're taking every thought in your mind captive, you're going to put it in jail and shut the door really tight and leave it up there. You're not going to say those things or do those things. You're going to say, get out of here right now. So can you guys do that? Take it captive, the thoughts that you have in your brain? You can do it. I know you can. And then there's another song I wanted to do, one little other song that we learned at Blue Water, because this is important. We can't ever be perfect or do everything right. But we get the label as Christian, and then we are supposed to be living like Jesus would want us to live. So it's a label that we like to have. That's a good label when we're God's child. But here's a song we learned that I just love from Romans 16:19. Okay. And here's how it goes. And you guys sing with me now. Don't be so shy. Okay. Be excellent, in what is good. Okay, come on. Be excellent, in what is good. Be innocent of evil. Who's this when you see this? And the problem is that he isn't just a little cartoon character with a tail and a horns and a stick. He's real, and we have to fight against him. That's why we have to put on that armor. And we... Yeah, Satan. So be excellent, in what is good. Be innocent of evil. And then what's going to happen? And the God of peace will soon crush Satan. Yes, God will crush him. Where? Underneath his feet. Woo! See? Romans what? 16 what? 19 says. Be excellent, in what is good. Be innocent of evil. So we have that. And that's the good thing about this book. The end of the story. We win in the end, but it's not maybe going to be easy, but we're going to win in the end. So you guys don't give up on following your label. Now I want to say one more thing and I'll get out of here so Galen can have a sermon and we have communion and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, there's a challenge. I love challenges. Does anybody here like challenges, to be challenged? Well, I'm not a challenger about games or anything, but I like challenges that I can do on my own, you know, but not against other people that much. But anyway, this challenge I heard on KFNW, and it said, at 8 o'clock every day, pray for our country. And so I have my little alarm on my phone go off, and you know what? I'm going to challenge you kids to go home and tell your moms and dads to plug in their phone, because I know they all have a phone, because I see them up here and stuff. And those phones can remind you. And it's so good to have reminders. And then what if all of our whole nation was praying for the United States of America. And then when I hear my alarm go off, then I say this prayer, that this verse that comes from the Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And here's how it goes. I love this. It says, if my people, say it with me, say it.
My people.
Who are called by my name.
Who are called by my name.
That's Christians. Will humble themselves.
Will humble themselves.
And seek my face.
And seek my face.
And pray.
And pray.
Then I will hear from heaven. And answer their prayers.
And answer their prayers.
And heal their land.
And heal their land.
2 Chronicles 7:14. All of you go home and memorize it. And at 8 p.m. every night or all day long, say that verse. If, but that big word if, that's the whole darn thing, if we do it. But if we don't, well then, we aren't doing it. That's it. So you guys, we are called by his name. That's the best label we can ever get. And then we want to be telling other people about him, and then we can make Jesus smile. And you guys, this is a real cool thing that we give you at Five Good News Club. We try to give it to everybody, and everyone behaves someday. We're watching close to see that you behave. So you'll get a smile award. And Chisholm's gotten a smile award. Well, anyway, this isn't just a smile award. There's some real important stuff on here because it's the wordless book. The gold tells us about heaven, and that's the gold that tells us that Jesus made heaven for us. And then we have the red because we knew we could never get to heaven without Jesus giving his blood. And then we have the white because we can be forgiven of our sins. And then we have the black because we all have sinned. All of us have sinned. And then we have green because we're supposed to grow to be more like Jesus. That's the goal of the whole thing, is to be more like Jesus. So you got your label now. You got your challenge. And now we're going to close in prayer. And I might even have a treat for you. And the treat is something that's supposed to remind you to be a sweet, sweet, sweet offering. Do you know that at the nursery in Thief River, when we have babies that cry, or we have to keep them under the billy lights with those things on, they don't want to lay there with that stupid thing on and then have that blaring light on them, and we don't want it to come off if they're real restless. We give them sucrose. It's in a little tube, and we take the end off, and we dip it on their tongue, and they fall asleep. Gee, sugar makes you guys wild, but it puts babies to sleep. Well, anyway, so we're going to close in here, and then you guys can all have a laffy taffy because we want you to be joyful. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Is it going to be yours? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one of these kids. I pray that they will want to live for you, that they'll make the choice to ask you to be their Savior, and that it'll be the greatest gift they ever had. It will make their life better while they live here. It won't mean it'll make things easy or perfect, because we all know we have to face trials and all kinds of horrible things in our lives. But you are going to be there with us through it all. So, Lord, please be with each one of them, and may they make wise choices, and may they ask you to be their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So guys, get a treat, laffy taffy, go around laughing and happy, and spread joy. Joy, 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 down in my heart. Boy, there's a song for everything. Oh, you didn't get one. Hi, there you go, Ruben. Ruben, and we got this little nice girl here from Columbia. We have friends here from Columbia with Kathy. Isn't that awesome? What flavor do you like? My favorite is banana. Anybody else want one? Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Peggy. Very good. No, thanks. Okay. Thank you so much, Peggy. That was awesome. Great message. If we could have, I think, Denise come up and with scripture and prayer.
Kind of a tough act to follow, I think. Okay, scripture today is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And I think that's one of my favorites, too. So, any prayer requests? John? He got kicked by a cow? Oh, okay. Okay. Jesse?
First thing, praise God for my person. That God put me in the community.
Yeah.
And pray for Jake Kruger, nothing really different. And Joel Dunn is supposed to go to the last
Sean?
Also pray for Cody Bernhardt. He's in Germany. He had an accident and he's got some back problems. He's been suffering with him. He's in the hospital right now.
Okay.
Just pray for healing and comfort for him.
Julie? Faye? Lisa? Would she say 3 years ago today she broke her arm too? Just being consistent. Christy.
Yeah.
Peggy? Is there anybody else? Okay, let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you for giving us breath and getting us out of bed this morning, Lord. And we thank you, God, for the weather. We know that you send us exactly what we need, even if we can't see it, God. Lord, we pray for Joel. We pray, God, that he'll get the phone call to get down to Rochester. I pray, God, that they'll just get there safely without any troubles. And I pray, God, that you just give him no pain, ease the pain that he's in right now, God, with his back. And I also pray for Lorraine, too, during this time. She's not feeling well, and I just pray, God, that you just continue to strengthen her so she can take care of Joel. And I pray, God, that we can just come alongside them and help however they need it, God. We also pray for Jake Kruger. Lord, we just pray for continued healing for him, God. He's just such a faithful man of God and such an inspiration to so many, God. We just pray, God, that you comfort him. We pray for Jim, too, being the caregiver of Jake, God. He's just an amazing man, and we're just so thankful that we can somehow be a part of their lives, God. We pray for Cody Swenson, Lord, who got kicked by a cow. We pray, God, for the pain that he's in. We pray that you'll ease that pain. We pray that you'll heal him. We pray that there'll be no long-term effects from this. We pray for patience for him, too, as he's recovering, God. We just pray that you give him peace during this time. Also for Jim Wileski, God, we're praying for continued healing for him. We know, God, that you can heal him, and we know that you have a plan for him, God, and we just pray that he'll just have patience through all this and not get so restless, and we pray that you'll, too, ease his pain as he's healing and getting all these different surgeries. We pray, God, for continued strength for Jan and the family, and we pray, God, for the ones back here taking care of the farm for Noah and Jacob. We pray, God, that you'll just give them wisdom and send the help that they'll need. For Noah, especially with his new baby, God, we just pray that you just continue to bless them. God, we also pray for Cody Bernhardt, who was in an accident and is having troubles with his back. God, we pray that you'll really speak to his heart during this time. Pray, God, that what he's learned in the past about you, that he'll lean on that as he's recovering from this, God. We pray that you just heal his back completely, and too, that he won't have any long-term effects from that. We pray, God, for Ray Johnson as he's coming back home. We pray that you'll just give the doctors and everybody's wisdom as to what to do for his cancer, God. We pray for strength and patience for him as well, God. We pray for Mike Carpenter, who lost a grandson. Lord, we pray for the pain that they're enduring, God. We just pray that you'll just reach down and comfort them, that you'll make yourself present and known to them during this time, God. We pray for Hannah and her arm, Lord. We thank you so much for her, for the life that she has and the spunk that she has, God. And we know this broken arm isn't going to keep her down, but God, we pray for a complete healing from it, and also for patience for her as well. We pray for Jacob Risted, who was hurt the other day at the football game, God. We pray, Lord, that you'll just heal him. If it's a concussion, that they'll know. If not, that you'll just restore him to good health, God. We also pray for Patty and Mark, God. We pray for Patty, just the mother's heart, Lord. We just pray, God, that during this time you'll also speak to Mark. We know, God, that he knows the truth, and he's just struggling, God. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just be with him during this time. God, you didn't promise us a life without struggles and without pain. And we know, God, that you will give everybody the means to handle what is thrown at them if they just seek you, God. We pray for many people traveling. I know the Petersons are coming home today or tomorrow. We have friends up from Brainerd, God, and we just pray, God, that you will just bless their time here and there, and that they'll get home safely. We pray for the upcoming school year. So many changes, God, whether it's you're going to the public school or the home school, God. We pray, Lord, that you just continue to let your face be known in our school system here, God, and in the schools around the country, Lord. We just need you back in the school system. We pray for the teachers. We pray for the parents if they're the teachers, God. We pray for patience. We pray for just a good year with good attitudes and just a willingness to learn from all the kids. We also pray and thank you so much for Peggy. We're just so blessed to be a part of her life and to have her here in our congregation. And we just ask for continued blessings on her and her family. And we just love her and all she does for the kids in this community and the dedicated life she has to praying, God. We just thank you so much for being able to come here and pray. And we pray, God, for Galen. We pray today that you'll just give him the right words to say, and we're all just really anticipating hearing his story, God. We thank you so much for life. You are the creator, and we just love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Denise. Very good. Before we do the offering, I think I'm going to have our time of communion. So if the diaconate would come forward, we will have our communion time, then we'll do our offering after that. For those that are visiting, we share an open communion table. So if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are more than welcome to share in communion with us. Let's begin with a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just consider this a real privilege to join at your table for this communion. We just pray that each one of us will be able to look into our hearts, every single corner, and reveal anything that needs to be taken care of, Lord. Just help us to be able to do this, and we thank you for your grace and mercy that covers it all. In your name.
Thank you.
On the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together.
Father God, we just thank you so much for the blood that you shed for us, Lord, so that we may have salvation, Lord. We just thank you for your love that you have for each one of us, Lord. Just pray that our hearts will be open to you, surrender to you, Lord, and live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said to his disciples, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us drink together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the gift, God, that so freely offered to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would just make us, God, the image that you've called us to be. I pray that you would lead us, Lord, and you would direct our steps. Father, I pray that we would just surrender completely to you, that we could say not our wills, God, but your will be done. So, Lord, we just join together and pray the prayer that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue our worship with some praise music, praise songs. So please, the praise team could come up. And if you'd stand, if you're able, join us and we will continue our worship. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Offering. I almost forgot. You think I'm nervous about my testimony? Nah. The ushers could come forward for the offering, please. And let's skip ahead to hallelujah, our endless hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for today. We pray that you'd guide us, Lord, and as we give, Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd bless this offering, Lord, and that you would just lead us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Please sing along with us. Endless hallelujah.
No more tears on
pray, please? A little closer.
Our Father in heaven, you call us to your name, and that's not a stationary thing. It's a process, and even though we might seem like good people, you still call us to be sanctified, to more fully express your goodness and grace in our lives. And bless Galen as he tells us about how this process worked in his life, and that even though he was a pretty good guy, he still needed your salvation. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin, I just wanted to remind you also, if you have not picked up your New Testament on the back table, we are going to begin reading this 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, for 8 weeks, and we're going to start that October 3rd. It's a Monday, October 3rd, so please pick it up. There's a reading schedule in there, and we have a lot to do with this. I'll be preaching on it every Sunday, and so please take one with you. Make sure you have one for every one per family, for sure, just so that everybody can join us. And if you know of someone else that you'd like to encourage to get into God's Word, please do that. I would love to see it as an outreach tool to reach into our community and to those around us who also need to be in the Word of God. Well, today is going to be much different, and we're going to hear what God has done in my life and what brought me to today. And I was challenged to do this quite a while ago, which I will get in my message, or my story, I should say. It's my faith journey. And one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You probably have figured that out by now. And that little word in that scripture, if you'd want to go to that slide, Cora, trust. That word trust packs a spiritual punch and has hit me in the gut so many times. But it is crucial for living a life of surrender to Jesus Christ. I started out early in my life, which I will get to, but as I think back, I think I was more of a fan of Jesus than I was a follower. I liked the thought of having a Savior, but I really hadn't surrendered my life like I should have. And so I think I went along and I did church for years, not really realizing what it meant to really follow Jesus Christ. There's so many things that pull us away from trusting in Christ, as it says. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Well, I can tell you for a fact that my path was not straight. And let me just tell you, pain is not a part of that, or disappointment. And I don't know about you, but for me, my life is nowhere near what I thought it would be. The journey that God would take me on is so much different than I dreamed possible. So this morning, I'd like to take you on a journey with me. It's my faith journey, I call it. And I pray that as I share with you this morning, that you will extend me grace and forgiveness and continue to walk this path that God has taken me on. And I'm going to do my very best not to cry, so I'm getting tired of that. I know that some of you have heard or at least know some of my testimony, but I feel God has made it clear that maybe it was time to share with you this morning what it means for me to follow Christ. And I wrote this down. I've lived this, and as I was thinking, I'm just going to come up here and talk, I thought, I know me, and I know that I'm not going to say what I feel God is leading me to say, so I need to put it on paper. I need to look at it and remind myself how much God has saved me from. My faith journey has not been smooth or even close to straight. It has not been without bumps or bruises or even open wounds. It's not been without trials, and I've been on many rabbit trails. It was just over 8 years ago that I shared my testimony, or what I have come to call my faith journey, with a group of pastors and conference staff at the Northwest Conference of the Covenant Church in Minneapolis, and this was a crucial part of my journey into becoming a pastor. You see, I had to sit in that room and get by these men and women before I could be up here today. As I sat in the office at the Northwest Conference, or I should say in the lobby, I sat for what seemed like an eternity waiting for them to call me in for the interview. Man, I did not like that word. I had so many thoughts running through my head like, will they even want me to be a pastor when they hear my story? Will they see that I'm not fit to lead a congregation? Why would they? It seems I've pretty much messed up everything that I thought God was calling me into. And then I heard a creak, and the door began to open, and I saw it open, and here's Mark Stromberg, the president of the Northwest Conference, and he says, "We're ready for you." And I said, "Well, I'm not ready for you, Mark." And he smiled, and he said, "Come on, it's not that bad." As I sat before the panel, I gave each of them a copy of my testimony. And most of what I gave them is what I'm going to tell you today. Not all of it, but I gave them most of it. I had a time that I had to follow. And they wanted to hear my heart more than my story, I think. When I had finished sharing with the folks that day, I looked up through the tears that were in my eyes. And I looked around and the whole table was wiping their eyes. And they immediately told me something that I didn't want to hear. They said, you need to share this with your congregation. And I said, and I confess, I said, maybe someday. I told them that I was tired of crying in front of people, and the thought of it literally scared me to death to be here today. And so here I am 8 years later, after I was told that I needed to share this. I'm not a very obedient child. And then I get a phone call from my son Justin a couple weeks ago, and he told me he'd been out riding motorcycle at 2:30 in the morning, and I said, "What are you doing out 2:30 in the morning riding motorcycle?" He said, "I was clearing my head," and he said he felt that I needed to share my testimony with all of you. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that God was speaking to Justin early that morning to simply say, "It's time." So I'm here today. And let me just say I'm very uncomfortable because I don't like talking about myself. I'd rather hear from God's word and God's story and talk about Jesus, not about me. As I thought about that, you know, my testimony is really not about me. It's about what God has done for me. As I share with you my story, I've tried to remember the best I can the dates and events. And I'm going to share more details than normal with those who are listening by podcast so they can I'm going to share more for those who are listening by podcast so they can hear my story because they don't know me. My journey of faith began as early as I can remember. I grew up the youngest of 12 children. I was raised on a small family farm with a great deal of hard work and a whole lot of love. When I think back to what our family must have looked like, to those watching, we must have seemed a bit odd, something like the Sound of Music family, Von Trapp family. For as early as I can remember, we would file into church early Sunday morning, far as I can remember, we were always early. I think that's where I get it from when I come here. Early, and I sit and think and pray. But we'd walk in single file, finding our family pew, and we took the whole pew. Quiet as could be, I could just remember. We were members of a small country Lutheran church called the First Lutheran Church, and no matter what the Popple Ridge guys say, it wasn't the First Lutheran Church from the 1500s. They keep reminding me of how old I am, and I was not there when the church first started. My experience in that little country church was a huge part of the start of my faith journey. I was blessed with parents who had a deep faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They taught us how to work hard and to have faith in our Lord. And going to church was important, and not going was not an option. It was something that you do. It is something that you teach your children to do. Somewhere around the age of 7, I was blessed with starting to play guitar and getting to sing with my sister Faye in church. And that is where I fell in love with music and with worship. This may sound crazy to you, but at the age of 9, I felt a deep call on my life. One night from the Holy Spirit to live for Jesus Christ. I was at home in my room and I had crawled into bed, and I felt something come over me that is impossible for me to explain. But my memory of what happened is as clear today as it was back then. The feeling was overwhelming, and it brought me out of my bed onto my knees. And I prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and that he would use me in some way. It was the first time that I had ever felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. As I think back, even though I didn't understand the enormous effect that God would have on my life, I knew without a doubt that my thoughts, my desires, and my hopes and dreams for my life would change as I matured. I felt God wanted me to do something definite in my life, but I had no idea what it was. I felt he was going to give me a purpose, but I didn't know what it would be. And I for sure didn't understand at that time where this faith journey that had begun would take me. What is funny to me is that back then, on that day, when I was about 9 years old, I knew when I prayed that God had something in store for me, I remember like it was yesterday, begging him not to make me a pastor or a missionary. And I'm not kidding. I literally was on my knees pleading and begging God not to make me a pastor or a missionary. I wanted to be a farmer. I wanted to be a farmer who loved Jesus and who would sing for him because that was comfortable. What I didn't know, as God didn't want me comfortable. He wanted me to be faithful. And so my journey of faith began with a deep love for God and a deep love for music. I began a life of singing and playing whenever I was asked to sing for church or events. I remember reading the Bible as a young kid, cover to cover, and when I told my mom I finished reading the Bible, and she looked at me and smiled, and I remembered one of my other family members said, "Yeah, Bob, but does he understand it?" I knew very well that I had no idea what I had just read. At the age of 15, I began the process of taking over the family farm. My love for farming, mostly cows, was still very real, and I still felt that this was where God was taking me. At the age of 20, I married my best friend, Julie, and we continued to farm and work full-time jobs to support what had then become my farming habit. We had many trials, as most young farmers do, things such as a drought the first year of farming, and my wheat averaged six bushels to the acre. And then an illness that took the life of every animal that we had on the farm, any animal that was making us money. And I questioned God, and I became angry with him. I knew I still loved God, but I was not happy with how I thought my calling was headed. I remember going to the barn to bury the last of our dead animals when I picked up a rock and I threw it at heaven. And I picked up another one. And I cried and I said, God, I don't know what you want. And I yelled at him and I said, I thought this is what you wanted me to do. It was not one of my finer spiritual moments, let me tell you. But even in my anger, I immediately felt his deep love overwhelm me, which is another thing I cannot explain. But to this day, I knew in my anger, I saw his smile and I saw his love for me. And so Julie and I continued to work on the farm and continued to love farming until one morning I woke up. As usual, Julie went off to work. I was home trying to make this farm work, and I loved what I did, and by noon I could not wait for her to come home from work to tell her we had to sell everything and move. That was not for me, trust me. I didn't even like school, and I wanted to go to college. I couldn't wait for Julie to come home and say, God is calling us to leave the farm. I know that. I don't know how I know that, but I know that. I need to study music. And I felt that God would lead us into some type of music ministry. I was sure of it once again, and so this is what we did. We sold the farm, and Julie and I both enrolled in college at Morehead State. We both studied music. Julie studied business. Julie finished her degree, and I did not. I studied for a year and a half. Funds got tight. We worked hard. And after Julie finished school, we moved back to Lancaster with the thought that God was leading us home to raise a family and do ministry in whatever form God would provide. And so we worked and raised a family, got involved in ministry at church, eventually started a business. During this time, Julie's brother Doug went off to school to look at being a youth pastor, I believe, and he was married to my sister Faye, as you know. And I thought, maybe that's it, God. Maybe we'll join them. I was willing. We were willing. And Doug passed away shortly after, some time in seminary. And once again, I found I was angry. I told God, I don't know what you want from me. As I said, after a while, we worked a business for 7 years. I had awesome friends working with me. And I became ill on a job that I had worked on. Well, after several doctor visits, I doubted what the doctors were telling me, so we went to the Mayo Hospital. While we were at Mayo at St. Mary's, we were told by the doctors I needed to quit my business immediately before I damaged my lungs any further. I finally had no choice but to believe that what the doctors were saying was true, and we began that long drive home. One of the hardest days of my life was thinking I was going to have to tell my friends that I could not work with them anymore. And once again, I found myself questioning that God even had a plan for my life at all. I was overwhelmed as, so now what, God? I once again found myself confused and angry. Quitting a business at this stage of my life meant that we would start completely over. At the age of 48, I once again found myself asking God, so what good are you going to bring from this? I promise you, I had no idea. And so we prayed and we waited for my body to heal. I could not sing for almost a year. I begged God and I pleaded with him. If nothing else, please let me have my voice. I knew God was there for us. And then one day, Pastor Tim Budgen called me and told me he wanted to see me. And I had no idea what was on his mind, but I went in, and what he told me was the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my life. He told me that he really believed God was calling me to be a pastor. And not only a pastor, but the pastor of Lancaster Covenant Church. And I told Tim, "You're crazy." I said, "Besides, you're the pastor here. And no one ever pastors their home church." I was 48 years old. Struggling with thoughts of worthlessness and literally had no sense of feeling like I had anything left to give God or anyone else. And what good would I be at leading a congregation? I felt like I couldn't even take care of my family. Well, when Pastor Budgen told me this, I told him, "Tim, there's no way I'm going to be a pastor." And I told him my story of begging God and to not make me a pastor, and he just sat there and smiled at me. And now I was angry at Tim. It was not one of my finer moments, let me tell you. And I told him very bluntly, I said, "Tim, there is no way that I'm going to be a pastor. And especially not the pastor of this church. No one pastors their home church." And Tim sat back in his chair with a smile. He said, "I know that, Galen. But I'm telling you, you're supposed to be the pastor of this church." And he told me to pray. I said, "That's fine, I'll pray, but I'm going to tell God that I don't want to do this." But Julie and I prayed, and I honestly felt there's no way. And in the weeks to come, I kept reminding God of how I begged him back when I was 9 years old not to make me do this. I was terrified. I was unqualified. I was broken. And I knew in my heart that this was not realistic or possible. But Julie and I prayed, and we asked others what they thought and asked them to pray, and I begged God again, "Please, please, I can't do this. I can't preach one sermon, much less one every week. I can't help people. I'm a mess myself. How can I help anyone?" Those were the thoughts and the feelings that I struggled with every single day. Well, after much encouragement from Pastor Tim and many of you, I still told God, "Okay, maybe they're right, God. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm supposed to be the pastor. But there's no way I can afford this. You know my situation. You know what we have been through. I couldn't even begin to think about paying for seminary. And there was just no way this was going to work out." Until one day I received a phone call from a past customer of mine, a friend who was not even a member of this church, and he said he felt that God had told him that he was supposed to pay for seminary for me if I would consider going. And I was just silent. I didn't know what to say. And then he went on to say, he said, "I want to pay for your entire seminary education. Do you?" Because he felt that I was being called to be a pastor. I couldn't believe it, and I remember saying to God that day, "Seriously, God, this isn't funny anymore." Because now I was officially terrified. And so I enrolled in seminary the first day as I drove to class, as I've told some of you this. I pulled over on the side of the road the first day, and I parked my car and cried, and I begged God, "Please." And I turned the car around and began driving home. And I literally was so overwhelmed with the power of the Holy Spirit, I can't explain it, because I stopped the car, turned around, and headed back for seminary. 3 times I did that, begging God each time. The last time I turned around, I knew that I had to go the rest of the way, so I got to the seminary parking lot, and I sat there for what seemed like an hour. I was so down, and I was so, felt so worthless and undeserving. And yet I felt that God was telling me, I will do this with you. I will be there for you. And the words that cut me deeply, and I could hear him to this day when he said, trust me. You see, I hadn't been doing that most of my life because I'm a fixer. I can fix things, and I could do things, and I could make things better, but I wasn't able to fix a thing. And what's crazy, my first day of seminary, I sat down, and as I walked into the room, I remember the professor very clearly. First words he said to the class, first rule, you don't fix anything. I thought, God, how can it get much clearer than that? I am so stubborn. And so after sitting in the parking lot for an hour, I finally went in, and for 4 years I went in, and God was there every time. He was there with me. I took classes, and I've been here. I began to burn out after a couple years, so I reduced my classes. I'm still maybe halfway through. And I keep telling the covenant that, and they say, so? You're doing what you're being called to do. And can I tell you this morning, as I love being your pastor? I don't deserve to be here. I'm still unqualified, and I am so unworthy. But I can say today that God has placed me here for a reason. And I am so along for the ride. I don't know what God has in store for me in the future, but I know that he's taking us on a journey, a faith journey, and I pray that you'll walk it with me. I remember saying when I first accepted the job, I remember telling the board, at any time, if you think that you want to take a path with someone else, I promise you I'll be done today and go about my way seeking what God has in store next. Because I do now believe that God has given me a job to do. But I'm really cautious about trying to guess what that is. Is it any wonder? My ways have not always been his ways. My plan has not always been his plan. And my thoughts have definitely not been his thoughts. When I said I'm learning to trust, I remember when Jim and Jake Kruger first came here, and I'm going to close with this, I was just amazed. Jim came to me and introduced me to his dad, and he said, Dad, tell him your favorite Bible verse. Jake quoted it, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I said, seriously, God, now you sent Jim and Jake Kruger here to make sure that I understand once again that this is where you have placed me. This is the work that you have begun and are doing. And this is not about me. Please know that. I'd just like to close with singing a song. I wasn't going to do this, but someone had requested it when I came to church today. So if I could have the praise team come up. And if I could have all of you stand, I'm sorry I've kept you a little late. And if I can't sing this, somebody has to jump in. We're going to sing Redeemed. And I want you to please join us on the chorus. We do this in the key of G. Okay.
It's at the end of the praise songs, Cora. It's the last song up there.
Let me just wait a few minutes. Esther, you might have to turn me up a little bit. I'm losing my voice. We'll see how it goes. Redeemed. Here we go.
Free. So I'll shake off
Jesus, I'm not who I used to be, 'cause I am redeemed. Thank God, redeemed. Father in heaven, we just thank you for today. God, and we thank you for the work that you have done in us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are not here to condemn. You are here to redeem. You are here to seek and save the lost, Lord, and we praise you for that. Dear Jesus, we thank you for coming into the world to sacrifice yourself for us, to take our sin upon you. We praise you for the life that you give us, Lord, and we pray that you'd guide us. As we go from here, Lord, that we would live in truth, that we would trust you fully. And Lord, yes, that you would direct our steps. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.